Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to ABB India Limited's Q2 CY 2026 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded, and any unauthorized recording of this call is strictly prohibited. The recording will be made available on the company's and SEBI's website subsequently. I now hand the conference over to Mr. T. K. Sridhar, Chief Financial Officer of ABB India Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Robin. Good evening, everyone, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Q2 2026 earnings call of ABB India Limited. Along with me is Mr. Sanjeev Sharma, the Managing Director of ABB India, and also we have Kiran Dutt, who leads EL business, along with Ganesh from ELDS, Distribution Solutions, and then also we have G. Balaji from Automation. Sanjeev Arora is not available as he's traveling, so we will have the call with all five of us in this particular time. Sanjeev, would you like to start off?
Thank you, Sridhar, and good evening, everyone. We are very mindful of the fact that all of you have taken time on Friday evening to attend this call. We really are appreciative of this accommodation. Today, the way we will run the call, there's a slight change. As you know, T.K. Sridhar, for a long period of time, he has been CFO of the company and also has been managing investor relations. You have known him from that position. In the month of May, the board kind of accorded him the status as the MD, Managing Director Designate, starting from 1st of January 2027. Now, between now and end of the year, I am prepared to transition. Part of the transition, I would like to invite T.K. Sridhar to present my part or the Managing Director's part in this conference and also in November quarter so that you get used to it. Then, in the meantime, we are also deciding on the new CFO for the company, which we will announce in due course, and so that the transition in January is seamless. So you will continue to hear the same voice in the coming quarters. Over to you, Sridhar.
Thank you. Thank you, Sanjeev. And I think it's always a pleasure to work with you and also other team members as such. So for the people on the call, I think I already had a reversal at the board meeting. So I did both the MD presentation and the CFO presentation. So I think I carry on from there. And so as Sanjeev was alluding to, the CFO search is on. We should be complete in the next couple of months, and then we have the process of induction there as well. Right. So now, to continue on the presentation, I think the presentation is open, and I hope everyone is able to see that, right? So yeah. I think let's go to the first slide, right? So this is a slide from where we start, right? So this is just an ABB at glance. People who are already familiar with this, there's only one point to note. Now, the number of manufacturing locations has increased from five to six because we had Nelamangala, a second location, which was. So that's why it is six locations, but the balance is the same. Number of shop floors will increase as the businesses start to spread out in the Nelamangala second location as well. We go to business highlights. I think we just uploaded this presentation. I do not know how much time the team brought to look at the presentation, but I would like to take you through that. We start with a half-year view. We are at 36% up on orders, 8,600 crores roughly on the orders, and revenue 6,743 crores, which is also 13% up on the half-year, but for the quarter, it's definitely a different number. Backlog, strong backlog, 11,900 crores of order backlog, in which there is no slow-moving or a non-moving order. Everything will get materialized over a period of time as scheduled with the customers. Operational EBITDA, 12.8%, and we will look at it in greater detail as we go forward in the presentation on the profitability, and the earnings per share is 33.61 as what we stand today based on the half-year results. And the cash position is strong with 7.2 billion Indian rupees. And I think you would have heard just now in the part of the presentation, we did declare an interim dividend of 90 rupees per share, so which is a part of the distribution, which includes the proceeds which we got from the divestment of robotics plus and a 50% payout ratio of what we do from the normal normal earnings. Yeah, for Q2 2026, very important, 50% growth in orders, so that's year-on-year comparable between last year, same quarter and this year, and 21% on the revenue growth, PAT up by 8%, operational EBITDA up by 23%, and the cash position, already spoke about it, 7,200 crores, and dividend of 90 crores as a special dividend. So all these things was done, but also on the sustainability side, we take really pride in doing this because it's the right thing to do. We had an 85% reduction from the baseline on the GHG emissions of scope 1 and 2, and also 99.7%, almost 100% of the waste is diverted from landfill. That's something which is there. And also we got some recognitions during the quarter. India's most sustainable company in the capital goods sector was awarded by Business Today. And we moved up in the ladder of the ESG rating by 300 basis points on the CRISIL standard. So we still remain as a strong company as what we are. So something which is for the last 8 quarters, how did we perform? So I think we have been gaining growth momentum. And the last 3 quarters, we definitely see there's a good uptick in the orders. So 50% is up for the quarter. And revenues as well, we are able to ramp up the revenues because we have a good order backlog which is going to be converted in the next quarters to come to be up by 21%. And where did we get all these orders from? I think it is more from renewables, building and infrastructure, data centers, then the process automation and also food and beverages. So this is our slide where we see how we are positioned in the different markets. And how do we see those markets as well? So as we are present in 23 market segments, both from energy, emerging industries consisting of renewables, data centers and electronics, and infrastructure and transport, core industries as such. And I think all the fundamentals remain intact. We have been saying that these industries are growing at different paces, but they're all important for us, even though core industries may have a slower growth. But whereas emerging industries will have a faster growth, but the base of core industries is pretty heavy, which generates equal amount of opportunities for us. So a spread between these two could be 15, 25 and 60 or 50% is what we see in terms of our order book or revenues as what we see. So I think hopefully, I think there are a lot of levers as to how this for this market growth, green energy, and then the AI and the data protection push by the government. And the capex, which infrastructure spend, where the government is focusing on that, and of course the PLI schemes and GST. Yeah. So where did you get orders from? I think this is something as a new slide which we added. So I think this is different from what we used to do. So from electrification, in the electrification segment, from building and infrastructure, and then the market, we got a gas insulated switchgear, and then for the data centers, we got ringman units. And from renewables, of course, and the smart power products which was offered to them. So on the motion side of it, we got traction and auxiliary converters from the railways, then motors which we supplied to food and beverage industries, and large AC motors to a building and infra segment. On the automation side, marine and ports, where we gave electricals and drives, and power distribution for power plants and energy, for energy industries, electrical control system for large refineries. So theme of the quarter, I think this has been a practice what we have been following for quite some time now, where we take the business, where we take the people around different markets, them in different segments as such. So in this quarter, we have water and wastewater management system as one of the markets where we see there is definitely a growth for us. So the ABB play in this is 4-8%, and the midterm growth which we look on this is roughly about 10% CAGR over the next 5 years to come. So what do we do over here? We have motors and variable speed drives to give both for outlet and in-depth pumping stations. Then we have PLC controllers, which we do for command centers, distribution systems for electrical rooms, and of course, and for these segments. So that's an interesting area, but a market which will grow slowly. That's what we say with the play of 4 to 8%. Good. I think the growth of 50% and the speed of growth what we are seeing would not have been possible had we not taken these initiatives of connecting with the customers and in different tier 2, tier 3 cities. So where our sales teams are fully engaged with the customers on ground. So different programs as suitable for different businesses tailored to the needs of the customers is actually mantra which we have been following, and it has been paying rich dividends so far. Sustainability in practice, I think we did discuss this about this some time ago. Yeah, so I think this is how we said that we moved 300 business points 64 to 67, and therefore ranked the first to the heavy industrial sector for strong ESG performance. We believe that not only being a performing organization is important, we also need to be a good corporate citizen. So therefore, our involvement in community development and engagements continues to remain strong, and we will only dwell upon it going forward. It's a very passionate topic at the board level as well, where how we are engaged on the community development as well. And it's one of the places where we take pride in being associated with the overall development of the country and the area surrounding us. Yeah. We now go to financial highlights. This is something what I think I'm sure that you are waiting for. So orders up 50% and then revenues up 21%, operation at 23% up with a 13%, more or less similar as what it was in the last quarter same time. And profit after tax 10 point for 11.6. And sequentially also we are better off, and we have been growing across all the parameters as what we see. And as far as the half year is concerned, so we are at a place where we think that we could perform better as we go forward because we get leverage of revenues and we will be able to generate cash. So we will delve deeply as we go. I think this is one slide I think which I had taken out in a couple of quarters before, but we brought this back slide up. Because I know that you would have looked at the global press release, which talked about 82% of growth, and this is something which you want to refer between these two. So, and this is in dollars at an 84 resin rate, which we take because we have been maintaining consistently from beginning of the year. So, so I think the global press release told 82% because you have India growing at some time, and also we had other ABB companies outside India getting some orders from Indian customers, which were freedom of 124, right? So this was what created a difference of giving up 82%. But when you look at absolute India orders, so we are intact at 50% is what we told. This is basically what ABB India had, both from domestic as well as exports. So we dwell into now a segment-wise information. So orders for electrification, the strongest growing segment is what we see for the quarter, 77% up on orders, and from data centers, the orders again from data centers, metals and mining, infra and cement sectors. Revenues, so but now because you have a strong backlog, which is also today at 4,800, 900 crores, which is strong backlog for EL electrification segment. So I think we are growing at 31% and profitability at 15% as what we see. Yes, and this has been impacted basically material cost impact of due to palm and metal prices hardening, and also the forex volatility what has impacted us. Motion, a stable growth quarter on quarter. I think we could see that 26% growth coming in every quarter sequentially as well. And if you look at revenues, slightly lower because they have long gestation orders from railway segment, which will get revenueized in the future quarters to come. And profitability at a strong 12% is what we see, despite the commodity price increase and the revenue mix challenges because some of the West Asia, they were not able to freely export. There was some holdback in the initial period of the quarter, which now got to release. So that's something which they are looking at, and their order backlog stands at 4,900 crores. Automation, this is a place where we see that there is a bit of a cyclical nature of orders. So we are at this point of time, even though we say 24% growth comparatively, but more important is it could have been still better. That's what we feel. So the revenues at 524 crores is 7% up, but hopefully, I think going forward with orders to come and orders with the energy and the process industries division, business divisions will book, I think we'll see this. But the good part is that out of the seven, the growth of, I mean, 524 crores, at least 30% of business, so that helps them to maintain the margin corridor. Okay, so a deep dive in the P&L account. So when the material cost 3% roughly compared to 61% last quarter, and 60% in the Q1 2025. So we will work. We have a bridge profit walk, which we will take you through, but this is just numbers to say that material cost is a place where we impacted, but there was also a slight definitely an increase in other expenses as well, which is more linked to the revenues which we executed. So this is a profit walk. I think apart from the charts which are there on the top side of it, which is just a bit of a trend, which we look at EBITDA, PAT, and EPS, more important is how do we look at the EBITDA bridge, right? I think when we look at EBITDA, it was 13.6% last quarter, and today it is 12.6%. And what we got was a scale benefit was  2.1%. What we lost on material cost was 3% roughly, right? And then we had other expenses and the employee-related expenses, which increased, and so that was 2.2%. While we gained from an because last quarter, the same time, we had a very high Forex impact, and that is not there in this particular quarter. That probably gained us this particular advantage of 1.6, right? So I think the question could be, is that so the scale benefits should technically be higher than the other, I mean, than the expenses, what you see compensating for the other increases. So that is something which we would like to see going forward, but also the price increases to the market, we being in flow from the flow products, it always takes a lag. It does not, the timing cannot be matched with the material cost increases, obviously price increase which you give to the market. So therefore, there's a lag which will come up. So hopefully, when the macro factors settle down and we're able to come to a stable level, so I think these two will match at some point of time. But I think this is the normal trend which we have seen, especially in short cycle product business. So this is typically the problem what we have. So now coming to what is this material cost comprising of? Again, we go back to the basics. Material cost increases on account of our copper prices and the metal prices which have hardened, and the Forex volatility, what has actually happened, and also a bit of a mixed change between the slightly lower exports and a bit of more projects and low margin orders which got executed, because it's important to keep the volume, the factory loading, the volume up and running, so that we are well prepared to take the scale benefit going forward to a higher level. So overall, I think this is basically the profit bridge between what we delivered last quarter to this quarter. Next slide. I think this is a standard slide, what you have been seeing, just to tell us what is the composition of how we are looking at the businesses. So I think if you look at it, Q2 26, in terms of revenues, EL is 50% up, 35% on motion, and 15% from automation. So this is broadly the spread what we see. And in terms of geography, you could look at it, we are just 13% in export for the quarter compared to 17% what we did in the previous quarter at the same time. So even though in the half year period, we are more or less the same. So the next slide. Yeah, so this is just, I know, I am 100% sure that you have all this information, but just to basically sensitize, this is a topic which we will have to continue to deal with in the next few quarters to come, right? So elevated commodity prices and continued rupee depreciation will be extended is what our research says. So and I think we are preparing as to how to manage this. So this situation for the businesses to handle. So they are geared up to address this in a very strategic and in a very phased manner. So this is my last slide. And on the outlook, the megatrends, electrification, automation, digitalization will be the key megatrends what we see along with grid modernization and the transition. So this is something what we think will be the area of focus for all of us through the 23 market segments what we have and the 15 business divisions what we have will all be interjecting on these, with these particular themes. So I think with these macro factors of the government capex which is expected to pick up, the private consumption which is going to drive, and a robust manufacturing base what we have, and but dealing with geographical, I mean geopolitical uncertainty as well as current situation and the subnormal monsoon is going to be the topics which are going to play out in the next 2 to 3 quarters as what we see. So this is more bit of a short-term outlook what we see, because today with the rapid changes which is happening, I think the short-term is more reliable, or I think something which we could look at it rather than even a median term as well. Now, this is the last slide. Yeah. So so I think with this, we sort of completed our presentation. Right. So we now open it up for question and answers. So normally, Sony used to say that we have to complete 20 minutes. So that's 4 minutes, Sony.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to please use handsets while asking a question. We also request that you please restrict yourselves to 2 questions only. If you have any further questions, you may rejoin the queue. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Umesh Raut with Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hello team, good evening. Thank you for this opportunity. My first question is pertaining to strong ordering performance during the quarter. So if you can give us details about growth on base ordering side during the quarter. And second, also growth in terms of ordering from, say, emerging industries, infrastructure and transport, and core industries in these 3 buckets.
Okay. So the first thing is about base orders are, what do you call, large orders. There's a bit of a disturbance if anyone is...
You can ask if they can hear you well.
Are you able to hear us well?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, that's fine. So we are talking about large orders or base orders. I think we want to move away from differentiating between base orders and large orders. I think we realized that large orders were very important when we had Power Grid as a division, because large orders we define as $15 million, which is roughly around about say 900 or 1000 million or 100 crores of orders, which in a business where we have almost 70% or almost 80% coming from products, I think these type of large orders is something which is really less. So I think to answer to your question, in this quarter, is everything is base orders. Right? So so the next question was, how did you perform in these different segments? I think data centers for this orders in this quarter, assume almost 15 to 17% of our orders came from base orders. Metals and mining was 15%, the top of an, and then oil and gas was 9, and buildings and infra was 8, renewables was 6. So I think the balance is all, distributed other segments.
Understood. My second question is pertaining to acquisition of Protok by parent. Probably synergy that India business may get from the areas like data center, water, or say power. especially because now Rotork is industrial flow control specialist, and probably in a few of these end user markets, your addressable market can go up. So how do you think about this synergy playing out for India business?
Okay. So I think it is pretty early for us to comment on it, because globally, if you look at the announcement as well, the shareholders of Rotork have still not approved this particular deal, or it is pending for their approval. So we have no other information other than that which has been announced by the group. So we have nothing to comment at this point of time, and it will be too early for us to work and give you these details. So probably when we get more information, or when the group advances on their particular pursuit of this, then we could sort of share with the investors further details on this.
Understood. My last question
is... sorry to interrupt, Umesh. We request you to please rejoin the queue if you have any further questions. Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Renu with IIFL. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening team. My two questions. First is, when we started the calendar year 26, the team was fairly conservative and cautious on the growth outlook. And then we had the Southwest Asia conflicts. Now, looking at the numbers, 1Q was a soft quarter, 2Q bounced back very strongly on execution and revenue side. So what has changed in terms of business offtake? Was it just slippages of revenues which caught up in second quarter? Or we are seeing a much better acceptance from the customer in terms of deliveries? And also reflected in the numbers, the channel partner had seen a pretty good jump in the revenue mix this quarter. So was that also to do with any share of channel inventory stocking up involved versus relatively soft offtake from end users or EPC companies? That's the first question. Second question.
I thought those two questions.
No, that's the revenue growth outlook. And the second question. And the second question is looking at the order accretion, which is fairly well balanced in large and short cycle orders of the first half of the year. Where do we see the margin headwinds easing out, and with operating leverage kicking in by end of the year, do we believe worst for ABB in terms of the operating EBITDA is behind, and can we see margins coming back to mid-teen levels through end of the year or next year? Yeah. Over to you, Sridhar and Sanjeev.
So you also took the clue from Sanjeev. Okay. So I think... thanks. I think Sanjeev also will chip in, where I'm finding it difficult to talk because it's more my, prep meetings. Okay, so now, coming to the your first question, which is the transition from what was the market at first quarter and second quarter. Yes, I think when the first quarter we closed, because at the time it was what was the West Asia crisis that had stuck the entire world. And if you remember the quarter one call, we did say that we did miss certain revenues because of the West Asia crisis. And that also had a spillover on the Q2 revenue, which we had. So, I mean, I cannot deny that particular fact, right? And whether it is only export-oriented revenues, the answer to that is no. It's a mix of both export and domestic revenues, because export is one side of it, but domestic is also important because we get material to import from the other countries or feeder factories, which we then converted to finished products to apply locally as well. So I think, so this is basically the situation. So it's a mix of both. And therefore, when you look at H1 revenues are 13% up. Otherwise, it would also be up by a larger percentage. So it's a sort of a stabilization which has happened. So now coming to the next question? Sorry, if you can repeat.
Margin.
On the margins? Okay. So on the margin side of it, I think we have a strong backlog. It all depends on three things. As what I say, will the material cost, will the metal prices and the forex price remain at today's level? Okay. If today's level is sort of maintained, because we know that this is what it is today in the pricing, and we see that the mix, and we don't have any distortions in terms of supply chain, right? Probably we get better leverage of the capacity of the operating leverages going forward in the next two quarters. But our research says, and this comes back to the same slide where I was showing the different commodities and the prices, our research says that we will still have certain headwinds from that particular slide, and we have to carefully navigate this particular situation as what we see. So today, I'm not comfortable to tell that what is that mid-teens of EBITDA margins will do, which we will do. Most important is protect what we are today so that we are able to develop the revenues and the orders in a good manner and then start to grow from there. That's what we are looking at it on a short-term basis.
Thank you. The line for the current participant seems to have dropped from the queue. We will proceed to the next questioner, that is Parikshit Kanpal with HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on a recent quarter. So our first question is in the three segments, electrification, motion, and automation. So you earlier alluded on the commodity inflation and the forex impact. So just wanted to understand on the passing on the pricing or the cost inflation. So where are we facing challenges and where it is more easier to pass on the inflation and what kind of price hikes we have taken in this quarter?
Okay. So we have two gentlemen, Kiran Dutt and Ganesh Kutavade, who deal with electrification, which is the major part of our revenue. So I would invite Kiran and Ganesh to throw some light how are they managing the
price transfer
to the customers. Kiran, would you like to go first?
You hear me right, Sridhar?
Yeah.
Okay. Parikshit, thanks for your question. I think it's a very important question at this point of time. When you have this West Asia crisis and also the kind of crisis we are going through with respect to the commodity prices impact and also the forex impact. So I think these two are really hitting us hard. And you can also see from the slide that the margins of electrification has dropped from what it was earlier as well. So it was very, very important for us to take some corrective actions. Of course, there's a bit of a lag in the corrective actions what we have taken and the impact of the price and cost which is impacting us. So that you can see in the graph itself. At the same time, what we have done is we have passed on two price lists into the market. These are two price hike. This is a publicly available price list which is there. And this is really supporting us in terms of trying to compensate the EBIT which is coming into picture. When I look at the acceptance, yes, there has been a lot of challenges in the market with respect to the customers accepting the price, but I think a very careful and a very it's been handled in a very delicate way from our side in terms of creating an awareness on what exactly is happening. Of course, most of the customers are aware of what's happening in the commodity price, but I think it's very important to very clearly explain to the customer what is in depth the content of silver or copper which is present in our products. I think it was very evidently proven to the customers, and customers for sure are quite logical in accepting something as a product with very high reliability and sustainable performance. I think they are coming back to us and paying the price what we need. At the same time, I think digital market is extremely important, and they understand the connectivity of devices which are required from our perspective. So they are coming back to us even more faster than what they were doing, and hence there is a price acceptance as well from their end. That's it from my
end. Thank you, Kiran. Ganesh, do you have any comments to further add to what Kiran was alluding to? Ganesh? Are we dropped or?
No, Ganesh has reconnected with us. One moment, please.
Hello, are you able to hear me?
Yes, Ganesh. So Ganesh, were you able to hear the question or you want a lead on the question?
No, can you please just repeat me?
Okay. So I think the question was, how are we dealing with the price increases to be passed on to the customers, given that we have cost increases are coming from the raw material input cost, which has gone up, right? So that's something which the investors want, analysts want the clarity of managing the price adjustments to the market. So we heard Kiran's version, which is more on the product side. So now we could listen to your version, which is more on the system side.
Yeah, sure. Distribution solution business, 60% business comes from the product. which is a flow business, which we basically market through our partners, and there we are able to pass on the revised price list with increased prices, taking into the consideration of the commodity impact. But as you said, there is a system business, and majority of those business, actually when we build through basically on the L1 basis, because it's all basically the tendering basis where we have to go for the reverse auction, and that time sometimes we are not really able to pass on these prices because there is a quite lot of competitive prices which we need to put. But flow business, which is the major part of our business, where we already increase our prices and passed on commodity price increase in the market, and you will see that reflection which will be coming in the coming quarters. Yeah.
So I think, Parikshit, I think just to reiterate what Kiran and Ganesh told, there will always be a lag. If the prices stabilize, the input prices stabilize, so then you will have this particular lag catching up. But otherwise, this still will continue, right? So that's something which we, I think is important for us to realize in this market at this point of time.
Yes. So second question, second question was on the geopolitics and also the maybe, I mean, what I think or believe, is it, if you can just correct me. So the order growth or the inflow growth, which has been quite strong, YOY. So is there any, are you seeing any delays in decision making from the client side, given the high levels of commodity prices and geopolitics, or more in a normalized situation, otherwise order inflow should have been more stronger. So just wanted to understand the color on the ground and the demand side across the segments, barring the current situation we are in, a high inflationary environment and any delay in decision making from the client and its impact on growth of order inflows.
Okay. So you will hear two versions, one from Balaji, who leads the automation division, where it's more project related orders from the customers.
Core sectors.
And exposed to core sectors. And while we have Kiran, who could dwell upon from the private side of it. So Balaji, would like to start from then from your version as to how you see from the government infrastructure side of it, and how is the core sector behaving to this now?
Sure, Sridhar, I hope I'm audible here.
Yes, very much.
You are audible, yes.
Yeah. So, I would say that there has been certainly a certain amount of impact due to the West Asia crisis. Since we deal with the refining sector, which is one of the key sectors here, when we see on the capex side for those investments that has been already announced, those projects are moving ahead, though a bit sluggish, which is typically normal of the movement of public sector. However, when it comes to services, the companies really pull back because of the increase in crude oil prices, and that's easing up now. So essential activities were carried out. So I would say that a little bit of sluggishness definitely on the refining side. On the downstream, other core industries which had a direct relationship with the crude oil prices, we did see a little bit of a sluggish movement, but I would not say that we pressed the panic button. Since the crude oil prices are still settling, even though the situation is quite volatile, we are still seeing movements here. You would rather see that there could be some real movements in the upstream side. Maybe we are hopeful that certain projects will be shortly announced. The power sector definitely has seen a lot of investments while seeing a lot of growth in the renewable side. But considering the low inertia of renewables and the crisis that is coming up in terms of natural gas supply chain, we are seeing a good uptake in the conventional power generation systems as well.
Thank you, Balaji. So Kiran, would you like to give a view from the private side?
Absolutely. Thanks, Sridhar, and thanks, Parikshit. I think it's a good one to have this kind of talk. Let me just give you some perspectives as Balaji talked about on the core sector. Let me give you some perspectives on some of the sectors which we are into, and let's look at one or two sectors. Maybe I would like to take a building first. On the building side, if you look at it, there are two types of building, one on the residential side and on the commercial side. But what we found was the decisions on probably the residential side has been pretty sluggish, whereas the commercial side has been pretty faster. And that's where it's actually supporting us in terms of growth, in terms of orders. On data centers, I think it's very much important for, I think, every client who's coming into India for data centers, I think they want things faster. And that's where we have an advantage of able to supply faster from our side, because we have the local facilities here. And that's what is supporting us in terms of growth in these sectors. Now, to cater to the data centers and buildings, you need to have partners who have the ready-made availability of these content of materials. And that's where the pickup from the distributors and the partner segment, the subsystem integrators as well, has been on a very high offtake during this particular quarter, because decisions have been faster from both data centers and commercial buildings. So that's where is the impact, and that's where we have been quite successful in terms of growth during this particular quarter.
Thank you. For the next person.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you,
Gunsh. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the queue, you are requested to please restrict yourselves to one question only. You may rejoin the queue if you have any further questions. Our next question is from the line of Atul Tiwari with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, in this quarter, the parent company reported 81% order inflow growth, and you have reported 50. And historically, we have seen that there is some difference, but not as large a difference as in this quarter. And I think in previous quarters, you have presented slides also explaining the variation. So could you comment on where is this wide variation coming from in this quarter?
I think in this quarter as well, in my commentary, I explained that we have given a slide on this. If you look at the presentation, which has already been uploaded on the portal, there is a separate slide which is talking about demand versus supply of how much of ABB Group orders and ABB India Limited booked orders. So this is more coming from Indian customers placing orders on ABB Group companies for systems which ABB India cannot provide or their convenience per se. And that's basically where you have a gap. So that's the situation where what we have, because of which we have 80% growth as shown by the group, whereas we are talking of 50% growth.
Oh. And sir, of this 50% growth, how much is volume-led and how much is price-led? Any comment on that?
We normally don't look at it from that volume and price-led, because it's all embedded in the the offerings what we do, because we have a mix of products, projects and services, so it's not an
entry volume.
And if you look at it, it will be mostly volume, right? Because price, of course, has a lag, as what Kiran and Kiran was alluding to. So I think it's mostly volume, and that's where we get the leverage from.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Amit Mahawar with UBS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Sridhar, hi. I just have two quick questions, sir. First is, is it right to say that the base orders, I know you've not differentiated on base and large, but it's after a gap of almost 1.5 years that the base order growth is almost more than 20% clearly, which has not been the case in last 1.5 year. And bulk of this is value growth in pricing, because when you talk to the channel partners, there is a very strong impact on June quarter onwards of the pricing, and volume is yet to play out. That's my first question, sir.
So, Kiran, would you like to take this question?
Yes, Sridhar. Yes. I think, Amit, right? What we are seeing is, Sridhar said, we do not differentiate, of course, one do not want to differentiate between base orders or the large orders. And I was also speaking to you on various segments of the market, which is actually supporting us in terms of growth. So the partners are able to get the pull from the market, and they are seeing a lot of very quick decisions being taken by the customer's end. So they are very excited to place a stock order as well and also cater to the requirements of these customers. And that's where the order growth has been happening.
Okay. So the second question is on the CAPEX. So we are expanding capacities. We are spending a good number to prepare ourselves for the upcoming high growth in some specific segments, including data centers and renewable power. What kind of top line can this $75-80 million CAPEX handle in the next 2 to 3 years? If you can give the quality of the top line also. Thank you.
Okay, so I think we don't measure with respect to top line. So actually what we want to ensure is that every year when we look at the future demand, we want to make sure that we have at least 15% of our headroom to cater for the future demand. So that means at any moment of time, our capacity utilization hovers between say 80-85% or 90% is the maximum, right? So every year we could see that there is for an incremental growth of 10-15% to create an headroom, right? So we always plan for that ahead, right? And this CAPEX, what we are doing at this point of time and every year, will help us maintain that momentum of 15-20% headroom of increase in sales which we could cater. Yes, if you ask me, are you only looking at that or you want to do a big scale investment to look at a 5-year to 10-year horizon per se? I think that's a very big topic to handle at this point of time, given the uncertainties we have at this as we see, Amit.
Mm-hmm. So can I ask a small one, a last one?
Yes, please.
So the gap, I understand the gap. A lot of orders are going, from Indian customers to the parent entity. I'm sure the division heads who travel to India from the head office also note a very significant demand in India. So how should we see this for the listed entity in terms of, because you have a huge cash balance, M&As are not easy happening from the local country. Any color on this and the importance of the factory setup in India for the parent? Because the gap is widening is a good news for the parent, but the stakeholders of the list could hear. We also want to understand maybe, how should we see this for the preparedness or if the mandates are, possible for India. Thank you.
Okay. So, Amit, I think the variation which you see today, which was one-off, okay, and the reasons for that were basically because one-off and orders globally was actually diverted to a local Indian customer, and therefore they had to novate it to of an already executing backlog was novated to an Indian customer, and who in place had to place to an order to a global company. So that's basically to manage the execution of an order which was an ongoing, right? That's number one. And number two was more from a sector of marine and ports, where we don't have a system in this particular country at this point of time on the competency. So that, for that, the main systems and the references, because global, the other companies in the European EBP units have that particular experience. They get the main order, and we are associated with the support and the sales and service and installation of that in India, right? And typically, this is a journey. So whenever you want to bring a large system order, the main system get executed by the global parent. I think this also would have seen in Power Grid orders of HVDC, where you have the parent first, and then afterwards Indian entity gains the competence. It's the same. So the journey on marine and ports has started in that way, but probably going forward we will do that. So the two things to Raman, to your question. First thing, this is just in one time what you see, but previous quarters and all, we didn't have so much of variations to the differences between Indian and the global, and there were reasons which I explained. So I think as Kiran, Ganesh, and everyone are saying, our focus is on India, and most of the 90% of business comes from India. So I don't think we will lose any scope on that.
Very clear. Thanks, Sridhar, and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants in the queue, you are requested to please restrict yourselves to one question only. Our next question is from the line of Bhavin Vitlani with SBI Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations, Sridhar, and exemplary performance on the orders.
My question is, the kind of strong growth we have seen in orders, could you talk about, have we seen an expansion in the market share for ABB in, I mean, you can talk about the electrification and the motion segment individually. The other question that I would like to ask is, the pressure that we are seeing from your peer set is especially on the railway side. So within the motions, if you could maybe talk about segregating railways and the other part of the motion, are the margin performance very different, and the margin, the pressure that you're seeing is a good part coming from the railways. These are my questions.
Thank you, Bhavin. I think this is a very difficult question for me to answer, so I would request Sanjeev to come in, because Sanjeev is here listening to me and preparing me so that he would answer this question for me. Yeah, go over to you, Sanjeev.
I think with respect to the question is about motion, right? About the railways and the traction. So I think what we have is we have long-term contracts with the railway exposure. And those are not difficult. I think there's only a time element of execution based on the configuration being changed by the railway. So I think the predictability of revenues is there in front of us, and also the price predictability is also there for us, including the service that we will deliver to them alongside the delivery. So we don't see any specific pressure at this point of time. On the metro, which is the business from the same segment, we see good traction, and I think there's a good expansion going on. And there are certain OEMs and the players in the market wherein we work closely, and they are succeeding in the marketplace, and accordingly we are getting that effect. So as such, we don't have any impact in our overall books and on the railway and metro side. Yeah. What was that?
The one was basically, Sanjeev. Bhavin, can you repeat the question you said for the other one which you had?
Yeah, the first question was on the market share, the kind of strong growth that we see in orders. Have we seen expansion in the market share, or is it the market growth that we are seeing at such strong level?
The market digested whatever the previous year's growth was, and now it's normalizing again. So I would say these growth rates that we see, it comes in a spurt after the lull in the market, and then they normalize to a kind of a level that we like, and that's how our capacities as well as our expectations are built in. So I would say that yes, markets are coming back. There are certain concerns in certain customers and certain market segments, but most of the market segments we are exposed to, we are seeing quite a good traction at this point of time.
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Mohit Pandey with Citi. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir. Sir, if I look at the absolute order inflow for electrification and motion, 1Q to 2Q, it seems to be flattish to down on a quarter-to-quarter basis. And if I understand correctly, we have taken price hikes. So is there an underlying volume sluggishness on a quarter-to-quarter basis, or is this interpretation wrong? Yeah.
It's not a good interpretation. I think if you look at sequentially, we were 2,400 crores in Q1 and 2,400 crores, a similar number, in Q2. The good part is that the data centers which are helping us is continuing to give orders every time, either directly or indirectly to channel partners. So I think that's basically what it is, coupled with the pricing which is always happening as a part of the market reaction. So I think this is what it is, Mohit.
Understood, sir. Sir, and is the QCO impact completely behind us now? Yes.
So QCO impact, I think there are two veterans on the call, Kiran and Ganesh. So they have to deal with QCO day in and day out. So I think getting a first-hand input from them would be valuable. So Kiran and Ganesh, can we start with Ganesh first?
Because we also got used to now what is the requirement which came from the government, because earlier that was something which was not very clear. So as well as our suppliers were struggling to meet those requirements. So that clarity is also now in place. And also there is some of the relaxation which is coming from the government on some of the components and an equipment where they have postponed it and given an extended time for us to meet those requirements. So at this moment, I will not say it is completely behind, but it is definitely relaxed and we got an extension of the of time, and we also learn how to meet those type of requirements. So that's what.
Thank you, Ganesh. Kiran, from the product side of it.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mohit. I think it's a very important question as well on the QCO side. I remember last year, Sridhar, you and me were answering on, and Sanjeev was answering on QCO last year a lot on what was happening and where was the lag. But I think we are well versed in terms of QCO now. Probably we will get some more degrees as well on QCO. QCO is not behind us, but at the same time, I think it's supporting our business growth as well. We are well aligned in terms of the government requirements of QCO. The testings are in progress, some of them already. More or less, everything has been completed as per the guidelines of the government. So I think it is something which will keep on moving. And with a local supplier base, with the local factories, I think localization plays a very important role. And that's where we have been extremely successful in ensuring that we meet the requirements of QCO.
Thank you so much.
And wish you best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Sumanta Khan with Edelweiss Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Congratulations. Good set of numbers in a very tough macro. Can you give me a sense of your roughly 11,900 crore order book that you have? Some sense, you know, what portion of this is executable over 1 year?
Over 1 year, I could tell you for the next.
I think longer duration execution cycle, and what percentage would be like a shorter cycle?
Yeah, so I think over the 11,900 crores, whatever we have, we will consume at least 40% in the next 2 quarters revenues. What we need to have, plus we will have over that one bill to meet the revenue commitments with the customers, right? And the balance will go to the next 4 quarters of 2027.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. That helps a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohit Kumar with ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. And good to see very, very good order inflow in the quarter. My question is, how has been the inquiry pipeline from the data center segment developing? And especially I'm talking about the pipeline improving over the last 6 months, given the a lot of projects have been announced the related part, the related question is that, is there a need to invest in any new products or investment to improve our TAM to serve these hyperscalers? Yeah.
Okay. So I will request again Ganesh and Kiran to throw the light. So Ganesh deals heavily with data centers, followed by Kiran. Ganesh,
over to you. Yeah, sure. Mohit, this is actually it's a very interesting question, and I fully agree with you. Quite a lot announcement and very, very strong pipeline from the data center, which we are really seeing it. And to meet those requirements, there are definitely certain particular components are required, particular type of breakers. And we are investing quite heavily in increasing our capacity, because we are definitely seeing that the picking up which will come, the demand will be multifold in the coming quarters, and maybe 27, 28, we will be struggling to meet those demand. And looking into that, we are already started investing into increasing our capacity for that particular product which are required in the data center. Yes, you are absolutely right.
Thank you, Ganesh. Kiran, would you like to throw some light from products for business?
Yes. Well, I think Ganesh spoke probably from the hyperscale side. Let me talk to you on the probably colo side. So on the colo side as well, the demand has been quite substantial. We see a very good pipeline of orders being concluded and also concluded pretty fast as well. And this requires, because there are a lot of changes in configurations from the clients, we are looking at what could be done in terms of their footprint, what is required, what kind of specifications are required. So we are working on that. We have also, if you remember, we had also launched a factory in the first quarter, which is the second factory in Nelamangala. That's what we were talking about in the slide as well, that there's a new location for us for some new product which we have launched for the data center requirement. So we continue to invest, we continue to localize, and we will continue to develop new products that are required for data centers.
So thank you very much. So I think this could be the last question we had taken. And we are very mindful of the time and the Friday evening for all of you. Thank you very much for really taking this effort to join you. I hope the people for whose questions we could not take, but your questions could be answered, or the questions you had partly could be answered, but you can always reach out to ABB team in case you have any specific queries. And with this, we would like to wish you a very good weekend. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Looking forward to interact with you in the next call. Thank you. Thank you, Kiran. Thank you, Ganesh and Balaji.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, then.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. On behalf of ABB India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.